So, the Mold Mate Club I used to see and used to think it was intriguing, an intriguing-looking place, but I never got to go in it. And I thought it'd be nice to go in there one day.
I always remember it being very red-looking, the place. It's building on the corner of the green. It was dark most of the time, and people used to say, I wonder what goes on in there, and nobody quite knew how you could get in to join it or anything.
I mean, Newington Green itself was... it was a tip. I remember when everything felt much more of an earlier period somehow. And then the Mild Maze retained that because, I always hope that little turret at the top, I don't know what you call it, there's a little glass bit, which I think the windows are filled in now because the cost of replacing them is too much. But I think that was used to see right across. I think you see right down to the Thames, someone said. But I have no idea if that's true because I haven't been up there to look, so I don't know. But the Mild Maid had a particular feel to it, which felt like centuries old, it felt. And I became a member. I walked in and became a member.
My wife's friend worked as a barmaid upstairs, and that was 1969. And she kept asking us to come over and have a night out. And we talked about it, and then we decided to come over, and she signed us in, because I wasn't a member at that time. So she signed us in, but when we got here, the whole footpath with people queuing up, ladies, sequin dresses, and the men all dressed lovely. And I said, I don't think we're going to get in. Look at the crowd, you know. So our friend came down to the door, and she called us in. She signed us in and everything. So I thought, oh, what a lovely night we had. And all the beautiful women dancing, the dresses, it was just fantastic. I couldn't believe it, you know, because being coming from where I come from, you only seen dresses like that once in a blue moon, ladies dressing up like that once in a blue moon, and it just took my breath away, really.
I couldn't believe the size of the place. I couldn't believe, you know, that everything was decorated and all different things, the bars, and the big hall upstairs, that's fucking... It gobsmacked me. I just couldn't believe this, you know. It was beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous.
It was something to look forward to come out on a Saturday night, you know. It was always then the big hall, Metro Hall, that was like a full band for dancing, swimming, and packed. All the seats were taken and everybody got up and danced. And it was proper entertainment. A live band, yes, probably 8-piece, you know, full band. Ladies singing, sometimes men. And then everybody would, they'd be playing 60s music, country and western, and some jazz. Not a lot, but some jazz, yes.
If you went over and asked a lady to dance upstairs, she would dance with you. But she was with a partner, she'd turn around and say, is that okay? And he would, yeah, go have a dance. So like me, and the wife would be up there, and Danny Murphy would come over, and he'd say to my missus, are you dancing or what? and then he used to look at me, is it all right? I'd say, yeah, go on, take her away. If the lady hadn't got a guy to dance with, they put their bags in the middle of the floor and dance around the bags themselves, you know. Oh, God.
We would just come up on a Saturday night, and you'd have bands always playing live in the main hall. And I remember getting here early once, and, you know, the soap, flakes of soap they put on the floor, they was doing that, and I couldn't work out why, and Dad was explaining it so that when they dance, they can slide across the floor. I only ever saw that happen once, though. But yeah, that's always stuck in my head, because most people did used to dance like sort of doing the waltz and that. But the bands was, because it was in the 70s, sort of early 80s, they'd be doing cover songs. There was always a cover song. It was never their own music. And I remember they used to do Knock Three Times on the Ceiling If You Want Me, Twice on the Pipes If the Answer Is No. They all sang that. They all seemed to play that song. That's the one song that sticks in my head. So, yeah.
You look at them nowadays.
Couldn't wear jeans Saturday night.
No, you had to dress
properly.
You
had to dress. Yeah.
Jeans on shorts. Jeans on shorts.
You had to dress Saturday night.
Yeah, no, you dress your best and dance the night away. I'd often be in glitter, that was my thing.
But all the older folk from the area, you know, especially the ladies, and they all got, you know, I mean, I come in a pair of jeans maybe on it, but they'd come in with their and fancy dress, you know, dressed up, and it was nice. You know, all the earrings and the jewels.
And the ladies would like earlier on the old members, ladies would Bacardi, about four of them, Jack Bacardi. I mean, I'd get through that whole bottle of Bacardi a night, because which obviously to me now is quite an old fashioned drink, you know, and but it's quite popular then, you know, Bacardi and Diet Coke. There's one old woman, Betty. Oh, she was lovely, Betty. I mean, she was, I remember it was her 90th. I mean, she was still coming in up till 91, and vodka and bitter lemon was her drink. And when she stopped coming in due to ill health, we stopped doing bitter lemon, because she was the only one, but she would be good for about 8 or 9 vodka and bitter lemons every Saturday.
We used to sit mostly in the small hall up the top, and everybody had their seats.
Special seats.
So if you sat in someone else's seat, you sort of got looked at. Or yeah, if somebody new came in, who's that sitting in our seat?
But that was stopped. That was stopped towards the end, wasn't it? Because they couldn't do that. But I still probably did. Probably left one of the kids there. Oh, no, you can't sit. That's my uncles. That's my aunts. That's my sisters.
I just like being able to get out and bring the kids. You couldn't go out otherwise.
I didn't have many friends. It was
no, it was just nice, because
you should come out for a drink with your husband and your friends and all that.
All our friends had children at the same time. Mm. Everybody knew them because they'd been coming up since they were babies, and it was just, it was our social life.
It would just be full of children Saturday night.
My dad was a member, and must have been about 7, 8 when we used to come up here. We used to sit in that side bit of the main hall, and my sister used to drink pineapple, so I've got a memory of my dad putting his thumb over the top of the bottle and shaking it, so she's got all the bits there. And then I thought I was very grown up, because Dad would put a splash of beer in me lemonade, and I had a shandy. I thought I was ever so grown up.
I spoke to my sister to see, and she said she remembers it seeming really big, like just massive. And we used to sit in the bar. Is it the tartan bar? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, yeah.
We'd always sit there, and we'd have our crisps and our Coke or whatever. And then once the parents had a few drinks, they'd loosen up a bit and be a bit more relaxed, and we could leave them and go and find somewhere. And it was like an Aladdin's cave, really, because you wouldn't know what you'd discover. But there was always that we needed to behave because we were lucky to be here. There was that sort of feeling, and we didn't want to spoil it by misbehaving, running around. That was forbidden. And I remember going upstairs, and there was a live band on, and it was on the stage, and never seen nothing like it before. It was like Las Vegas or somewhere. And it was like glam rock. They were playing Fire, like really loud, pumping out, and people were dancing, and it was amazing. It was such a great feeling. And we would sit up there, just the four of us, and have our own little get together, yeah, with our drink and crisps. And
because it was dark up there as well, you feel like you was hidden and nobody could see, yeah, you, weren't it? You could spy on everyone else.
We were
else.
Spying, yeah. We were literally looking down on them, and they were all partying away on the dance floor.
Like the wood panels, the glitter curtains, the sausage roll stained carpet. That's my childhood right there. The no smoking on the dance floor sign, the no children running on the dance floor sign, which I just ignored at the time. that's what brings back memories. Yeah. And growing up, like, the smell of cigarette smoke, I don't know if that's still ingrained in the velour sofas upstairs. You've definitely got the little cigarette holes in some of the seats. And you've also got little holes in the seats where women used to stand in their stilettos. But yeah, growing up, I remember the smell of smoke. I'd go home and I'd smell of smoke on my clothes. But yeah, and I also remember children used to like to, not necessarily me, but there were some naughty children who used to pick up things from the buffet, mostly prawns and cockles, and throw them at each other and have a food fight. So I can distinctly remember the smell of fish in the tartan bar, yeah. But mostly stale beer, that was the main scent.
Nice. I used to have hindus up here. My first ever hindu I came to up here, hindu. Which was an experience.
This lady, Lil, I hope it's not boring, by the way, but she'd never been to one before. And she said, well, can I come? I said, I don't really think it's your cup of tea, Lil. So she said to me, why not? So I said to her, you know, they take all their clothes off, you know. Doesn't do that, she said. Like Ranky Stender. So I said, yeah. What? She said, can I come? I said, if you want to. So anyway, I had a word with the stripper when he came. And I said, look, there's going to be an elderly lady sitting next to me. She's my friend, who said, don't make a beeline for her, will you? Don't, you know, leave her alone, won't you? Okay, he said, point her out, so I did. Anyway, Lil made her, when they were all dancing, then he gets out the baby cream, the baby oil, and he's going up and down the aisle, and she's grabbed his hand. She's grabbed his hand, so because he must have thought, well, you know, he'd got the wrong one. So he's led her back to the front of all the people, and she's proceeded to rub, you know, cream on him, on his bum. And so I thought, oh God, I'm sitting there, I was really in a bad way. I thought, God, Bill will kill me. You know, anyway, so I said, don't forget, what goes on up here stays up here. I said, don't tell Bill. Okay, Gwen, she said. I said, don't, nobody's going to say anything. I said, you had a good night in Devon. She said, oh yeah. So anyway, what happened? All the husbands are sitting downstairs. She comes trotting down and she went, oh, Bill, she said. She said, I was with the stripper, she said, and he asked me to rub cream all over his bum. And I saw the husbands, oh, look, him, you know, just keep it secret. But it was so funny.
Yes, it was male strippers brought in. Yeah. And the place we packed with women, young and old. But the old people actually enjoyed it, I think. Maybe brought back some of their memories. And then the stag do's. You know, the hen do's was, yeah, they had male strippers in, but the women came in to have a drink and a laugh as well. Where the men, it was a completely different thing. It was, you know, to put men on the ground and did things to them. I don't want to say the word. Well, they had their trousers down, let's put it that way.
On a Sunday morning, up in the top bar, it's not the big old one above it, you used to have Fred and Rose on the piano. And everyone used to get up and sing. It was just family party.
I used to love Sunday mornings because it was a real, just a good time. Everybody, as I say, the singers used to get up and you'd be here till about 3 o'clock, then go home and have dinner and whatever.
Used to be the drinking hour used to be 11 or 12 till 3 Sundays, because everyone's got to get out by 3 and then be back again by 6 for snooker.
So I can just visualise my dad and my father-in-law standing there singing their songs. My dad used to always sing a lot of Matt Munro,
Perry Como,
and my father-in-law used to. His favourite was White Christmas and A Wonderful World.
I said, could I sing a song? And they said, yes, yeah, good idea. When I showed the pianist my sheet music, which The Impossible Dream, he said, I'm pleased with that. He said, well, yes, I know that one. So that gave me a lot of confidence. That was very good. So I walked up to the microphone and off he started playing It's Impossible, which is a totally different song to The Impossible Dream. So I'm now standing at the microphone, a 15-year-old with a hall full of people, and it used to be really busy, in the main hall. And the gentleman on the piano was playing the wrong tune because he knew it, so he didn't look at it. So I'm now singing to the wrong piece of music. So what did I do? Did I stop? No. I slowly walked over to the piano and slowly put the lid down. And they never asked me to sing again.
No matter who got up on the stage to sing was appreciated. If they were a good singer, bad singer, there was no such thing as a bad singer, because everybody clapped and cheered them on. So as I said, which was lovely. Really, really nice. Why does the sun keep on shining? Why does the sea rush to shore? Don't they know it's the end of the world and you don't love me anymore?
In the small hall, there's a little stage in there, and I was probably about 8 or 9, and I got up on that stage and sung at the Christmas festival. Yeah, it was really weird. For some reason, I was just that confident when he said on the mic, does anyone want to sing? A few adults got up and sung, and then I went up to him and said, I want to sing. And then I sung Jingle Bells. For some everyone else was singing good songs to get up and dance to. And I just stood there and sang Jingle Bells. So, but yeah, it's nice.
Light and bitter, I think it was, I used to drink. My father used to drink Mann's Brown, and they used to come in big bottles like that. And Christmas time, you could get crates of them to store in the scullery for when you have a party.
Yeah.
Well, Christmas, there used to be a big queue here to go up into the big hall, like, you know, you had to book to get a ticket to go up there.
Easter, you know, Christmas, holidays, school holidays, they would be doing everything for kids. So, and I mean, so much so that the big hall, I don't know if you've been in the big hall, have you? We used to have the pantomimes in the big hall, but one Christmas it was so busy that we had to use the small hall to have the overflow of people going in there because it was just too many people. On one of the pantos, there was a really scary character, and it was a rat. And I never forget, my youngest cousin was petrified, and every time this rat came out on stage, he would actually be in my aunt's, you know, coat screaming. And I remember looking at him thinking, it's not real, but obviously I'm a few years older than him. And I suppose that stands out because he, you know, he wanted to run out. Every time it came on the stage, he wanted to run out.
My friends and I would be sat right up to the front, best seats, because we'd got there really early. I would have been probably the first one there. So I got the pick of the seats right at the front. And I remember, I'm not sure what pantomime it was, but there definitely was a Wicked Witch. It scared me a little bit at first. It's hard to distinguish because it was so long ago that they sort of all merged into one, but I was really excited by that. The kids were all given a little juice box and some popcorn or jelly, and we would like sit and be really excited. I actually don't know what our parents would have been doing. Maybe they may have been watching, but they might have decided to just have a drink near the bar. I'm not quite sure what they were up to, but I just remember enjoying the evening with my friends, and that would be a huge highlight of the year as well. I think we had a pantomime, and then it sort of went into like a kids' disco with S Club 7 and Cher, Believe playing.
We used to bring our boys up every Christmas Eve, every New Year's Eve. As Christmas Eve turned into Christmas Day, you'd get like at about an hour and a half going around wishing everybody Happy Christmas, same New Year. But it was just such a lovely atmosphere. Everybody knew everybody, and but you welcomed new people, but it was just a proper community place. Real, everything seemed to evolve around this place, didn't it?
Most of my grandchildren learned to walk here. Yeah, they learned to walk. I've got 10 great-grandchildren, and they all learned to come up here, walk. My granddaughter got married, had a wedding here, everything, christenings, holy communions, confirmations. Mm. You know, my family came, our family came right up through here, you know.
The wedding, yeah.
Right.
Go on.
We went.
No, we met.
We met, right.
Go on.
Yes. Ah. I looked after my parents till near enough at their ending, looking after them. And one Saturday night, I deserved a bit of a break. So I had a trip over to Camden Town, and I spotted a quiet little public house on the corner where the buses come through. And I popped in, and this gentleman was in there. Stupid. At the bar.
Where is he?
That's how we met.
I recall whistle that.
That's how we met. And we were together for 20 years, and we did the new thing of civil partnerships in 2006, so that makes it 20 plus.
Yeah.
Mm. 14 years. That's
Yeah. They had a reception.
They had reception up there.
Yeah.
I was sitting down here. We were sitting, all of us, down here. And Fred says, we've got a wedding upstairs. Mm-hmm. I said, well, we've got a wedding. And he says, yeah, we've got Ron and Ray. They got the wedding reception. And it was quite new then, you know. I thought, what?
Because we didn't know then.
We didn't know, really. We didn't know you at the time, you know, as we know each other now.
You kept it one side, didn't you?
We were one side and you were over the other side where we used to just wave to you, you know.
I sort of sit and think even more now, like I'm sitting here thinking about it now, this, my life wouldn't have been the life I've had without this place, because my mum and dad started coming up here. They met my, they made friends with these two people that ended up being my mother and father-in-law. So I wouldn't have met my husband if I hadn't have come up here. My kids wouldn't have been born. Loads of things wouldn't have happened. I'd have, like, completely different. So, thank you, Marmite Club.